gotta get that. I'll just be a minute.
Well, I'm not dressed yet, Rose.
I can't right now. Sophia, would you mind?
Sure, why not? I'm over 80. I've had plenty of chances to rest in my lifetime. Today alone, I probably sat down 3-4 times. I'll answer the door and then I'll hot tar the roof.
Hello?
Hello. Tell me, how many of me do you see?
We're twins.
We're here to see Blanche.
I guess she's back on the vitamins. Come on in.
Oh, good evening, Rob.
Hello, Blanche.
Well, Rob, you didn't tell me your brother Bob was a twin.
And you didn't tell me your roommate was Grandma Moses.
Hey, how would you like me to fix your face so the two of you don't look like twins anymore?
Sophia, this is Dorothy's mother. Dorothy's the roommate who'll be joining us tonight.
Hello, everybody. I'm sorry I kept you waiting.
Dorothy, this is Rob, and this is his brother Bob.
I swear I have seen you somewhere before. Oh, there you are. That's a joke. You see, Blanche didn't mention that you were twins.
Oh, well, I never met Bob until tonight.
Blanche, I told you we were exactly alike.
Dorothy, you're going to be thanking me for years to come.
Well, at least we won't argue over who has the cuter date. Oh, Stanley.
Dorothy, I need to talk to you.
Oh, Stan is her ex-husband. Biggest loser you'll ever see. Good evening, Stan.
Always good to see you too, Dollface.
I'm going out, Stanley. We'll have to talk some other time. And in future, I really would appreciate some notice before you drop by. Let's say 1-6 months.
Dorothy, I have a stack of papers that we need to go over before the surgery.
Surgery?
Finally going ahead with that hair transplant?
Sophia, not everybody knows this isn't real.
Oh, please. Stevie Wonder could tell it's a rug.
Believe me, I wish it were only a hair transplant. But, hey, look, I don't want to ruin your evening. You go out, have fun. I'll still be here when you come back, God willing.
No, we have tickets to see Merv Griffin in The Crucible. I'll risk it. Come on, let's go. Oh, look, Stan, I made these plans a week ago. How can you expect me to disappoint Rob?
Bob.
Stan, are we talking life and death?
The doctors say I'm lucky to be talking at all.
Hi, everybody.
Oh, Rose, honey, do you think you could take my place with Rob?
Bob.
I wish I could, but I'm driving the bookmobile for the grief center tonight.
Oh, I thought you'd do that during the day.
I usually do, but I got tied up at work and I didn't have time, and now I feel so guilty. There are so many depressed people out there with nothing to read. Of course, when I'm depressed, I can't read. I knit. Maybe I should drive a knitmobile.
Maybe she should drive a knitwitmobile.
Honey, I think you should just call a friend.
Oh, Boaz, would you all mind waiting out in the car for a few minutes? I want to talk to Dorothy.
Sure, come on, Rob.
Bob.
Blanche, I'm really sorry, but I think I have to stay and talk to Stan. I'm sure you can get somebody.
Dorothy, I must confess I have mixed feelings about calling anybody. There's something strangely provocative about this evening. Oh, of course, I would never have a relationship with both twins at the same time. That would be obscene. Unless, of course, it was tastefully done.
Stan, what was it you wanted to see me about?
Not now, Dorothy. Finish your thought, Blanche.
Into the kitchen, Stanley.
Well, I'll just send one of them home. Only which one? You know, Sophia, I used to have this recurring dream about twins. They always killed each other over me. Maybe I'll drive.
You know, Blanche, I have a recurring dream. John Cameron Swayze straps a Timex to my chin and tosses me across an icy pond. I looked it up in a book of symbols, but it wasn't there. That's it, I'm done. What do you want me to do, bring down a curtain?
Bypass surgery? You mean heart bypass?
Yeah, the doctor says the problem's been brewing for years. I don't understand it. I always exercise, eat healthy.
Oh, please. Your idea of healthy eating is taking the skin off a knockwurst.
Whatever. He says I don't have a choice anymore. Oh, Dorothy.
Oh, come on now, Stan. You have to try to pull yourself together.
Hey, babe, don't worry. I'm a survivor. Everything's cool. The cat who's going to cut me is primo.
I said pull yourself together, not talk like Sammy Davis Jr.
I only meant that the operation is a very common procedure. Everything's going to turn out just fine. On the other hand, they are going to crack open my chest and slice my heart like the lox platter at Wolfie's.
Good, someone's going for lox and get some bagels and assortment.
Ma, Stanley's having bypass surgery on Friday.
So, I'm not asking him to walk, he can take the car. And Stan, no poppy seeds, they get caught under my dentures.
Sophia, at least you could pretend that you're concerned.
Really, I'm worried sick. Also, a half a dozen sour pickles and two prune Danish. I want the locks to visit, not set up shop there.
Ma, this is serious surgery.
Surgery is the easy part. The tough part is after. Who's going to take care of you?
I don't know. I haven't thought about that.
Well, think about it. You live alone and no one likes you.
Be nice, Ma.
You'll come here to recover.
Not that nice, Ma.
Dorothy, he's still family. It's your fault he's family, but let's not dwell on that now. The yutz could die.
Sophia's got a point. What am I going
to
do?
Stan, Ma's right. You're going to come here to recover. You can have my room. I'll move in with Ma till you're feeling better.
Sophia, Dorothy, you're the greatest. I don't know what to say.
Is it just your heart that's clogged or your ears too? Let me start again. A half a pound of lox, a dozen bagels assorted, no poppy, two prune Danish, six sour pickles, and a container of cream cheese.
Come in.
Well, tomorrow's the big day. Are you excited?
Rose. He's having a bypass, not going off to college. We know you're going to be just fine.
Here, I brought you some clean towels.
Babe, you are a remarkable woman.
I said towel, Stanley, not a kidney.
She is trying so hard to be brave.
She's very convincing.
Well, you have a wonderful night, Stan.
We just wanted to stop by and wish you luck in case we don't see you again. Before you leave. For the hospital. Not another world, I know.
Let's not bother him anymore. Let Stan rest in peace. Sorry.
Stan, I've got to pack your bag tonight. We have to leave at 7:30 tomorrow, so you can be admitted by 8.
Dorothy?
Yeah?
I really appreciate everything you're doing for me.
I know that.
I've never been this scared in my life.
Oh, come on. Now, Stanley, you said yourself it's a very common operation.
Still, there's a chance something can go wrong.
There's always a chance.
And when there's a chance of something can go wrong with me, it usually does. The way I figure it, I'm going to die, Dorothy.
Stanley, you're not going to die.
Yes, I am. I'm going to die. That's why there are some things I have to say to you tonight. I love you, Dorothy. I know that sounds crazy coming from a guy who walked out on you after 38 years, but it's true.
Look, I've already forgiven you for that, Stan. Besides, in the grand scheme of things, it's not so terrible to wait 38 years to make your first big mistake.
It wasn't my first mistake.
What?
Remember the chain link fence retailers convention in Atlantic City in 1957?
Oh, my God. You had an affair at the convention.
No, there was no convention. I just had an affair.
Oh, Stanley.
She didn't mean a thing to me. She was a waitress in a little Greek diner on her way to work. Every morning I'd come in, she'd put some rolls on the table and say, "Can I butter your bun, Stan?" One morning she said it and there were no rolls on the table. Next thing I knew, we were in Atlantic City. Dorothy, I swear to you, it was just that one time. Forgive me.
Forgive you. Forgive you. I'm sitting at home with two screaming kids praying that you'll sell enough chain link to put food on the table, and you're off planting your flag on Mount Olympus.
Dorothy, make it sound so cheap. Please, tell me you understand. I need to know that you forgive me before I let them cut open my heart.
They may have to stand in line.
Dorothy, please.
Oh, all right. All right. You're off the hook, Stanley. Go to the hospital with a clean conscience. I forgive you.
Dorothy, you've got the compassion of a priest. You really do. But you'd have to be the entire Vatican softball team to forgive me for the other time.
The other time.
I didn't mean it to happen. I was having a drink in the bar that they added onto that Greek diner when a woman sat down next to me. We talked, we drank, we broke a few dishes. The next thing I knew, I came to in a motel with my toupee in my mouth.
I cannot believe this. I cannot believe that I am hearing this. I mean, I always assumed that something like this could happen, but I just figured it would be with that blonde secretary you had who couldn't type or take shorthand.
You're wrong on two counts, Dorothy. She could take shorthand, and I did have an affair with her.
I am shocked. That airhead could take shorthand.
Look, Dorothy, tomorrow I am checking into that hospital and I may never come out. And if that's the case, I want you to know that despite everything, I have never, ever loved anyone as much as I loved you.
I know that, Stan.
Then you forgive me?
I forgive you.
That makes me feel so much better.
And that makes me feel so much better. Where were you? We've been worried.
You know who's in this hospital? Rochelle DeVito. She slipped in the shower, broke her hip, fell through the shower doors, hit her head against the sink, got a concussion, and swallowed her dentures. To hear her complaining, you think no one else had problems. I took some of her cookies. You hungry?
No, I'm too upset to eat.
Honey, they're doing everything they can.
Oh, I know. I'm sorry, honey. I'm just scared.
Well, it's understandable.
No, it's surprising. You know, when I was married to Stan, there were moments when I'd look at my life and think, oh, my God, what if I lost him? Well, I guess you can't just turn your back on 38 years of living because part of me feels that way right now. And I didn't expect it. I mean, I thought the next time I went through this, it would be for Ma.
As long as I'm here, maybe I can fall and break my hip so you won't have to come back.
No, it's strange. If anything happened to Stan, I would feel like his widow. I mean, I know I'm not, but we've just been through so much together that that's how I'd feel.
I remember the first time anybody ever called me a widow. I was terribly lonely and depressed. Just missing George, something awful. Finally, my best friend, Rebecca Sue Bliss, persuaded me to join her for a night out. Well, we no sooner stepped through the door into the Boots and Saddle Grill than these two big, brawny truckers came over and offered us a drink. That is, until one of the truckers noticed my wedding band. Well, I was so stunned, I couldn't speak. But Becky Sue spoke right up. She said, oh, that's all right. She's a widow.
Oh, Blanche, you poor baby.
I know. You can bet the next time I decided to party when George was out of town on business, I left that wedding ring at home.
Blanche, you were unfaithful to George?
Oh, of course not. I was only flirting. There's nothing wrong with that. It keeps you healthy, keeps you in shape, keeps your buttocks firm.
And I wasted all that time on jazzercise.
I have to confess, I hate being called a widow. It sounds so permanent and final, and I don't believe for one minute that it is. I know someday Charlie and I are going to be together again. Probably not in the old house. We don't need that much room. I mean, the kids are grown, and we'll both be dead.
Excuse me, Mrs. Bornak.
Yes.
I'm Dr. Stephen Deutsch. I just wanted to let you know that Mr. Zbornak's out of surgery and he's doing fine.
Oh, thank God.
He's in recovery now and he should be out of intensive care within 48 hours. I understand he'll be spending his recovery period with you.
That's right, doctor.
Well, it's a very critical time for Mr. Zbornak, but with proper care, there's absolutely no reason he won't be as good as new within 3 months.
Did you say 3 months? Ma, he said 3 months.
You call that wrestling, you pansy? If you can't take a crutch slam like a man, get out of the business.
This is great, just great. You and me watching television together. Hey, you know, there's a great basketball game on 7.
I said it was all right for you to come out of your room. I didn't say it was all right for you to talk to me.
You know, I'm kind of an expert in basketball. I mean, it's one of the interesting things about me.
Please, you've lived here for 2 months. There's nothing interesting about you.
No, I mean it. Ask me anything.
All right. When the hell are you moving out?
You kill me.
I'd love to.
Oh, hello there, Stanley.
Oh, hi, guys.
You just wait right here, honey. You will never guess what this impulsive, wonderful fool just did. He bought a fire engine red convertible, put it on his credit card. I have to get a wrap.
Hey, dude, so you won out. I figured you would. I overheard Blanche telling the other girls last night that you got all the brains, charm, and sex appeal, while your twin brother, Rob the Slob, batted a big fat zero.
Hey, Rob, I'm ready. Let's go.
You're Rob? Hi, Blanche.
Why? What's wrong?
Ask him.
Stan?
I thought Rob was Bob, and I guess I said something I shouldn't have.
Stan, I'm gonna kill you! Stan, I'm gonna kill you! Do you know what this is?
Yeah, it's a plate I dropped. I was gonna pick it up later.
This is not just a plate, mister. This is a family heirloom. It's great-great-grandma Nyland's ceremonial wedding plate.
A wedding plate?
Yes. The bride's family fills the plate with fruit, and then at the wedding, all the guests eat from it. And when the last piece is gone, that's when the bride and groom leave to start their wedding night, which takes place in a tent or a Best Western.
A Best Western?
Oh, the Vikings have always been a very progressive people. Anyway, that's when it's time for the husband to symbolically offer himself to his new bride on the plate.
Yeah, I ate a tuna sandwich on that plate this afternoon.
Stan, I'm never going to forgive you for this. My niece is getting married in the spring. What's her husband going to do?
I bet a gravy boat would work in a pier.
Oh, Stan, I went to 3 different stores, but I finally found the stuff you asked for to make you go to sleep.
Oh, wow. Strawberry Quip, you are the best, babe. I'm going to go take a shower. If you could bring me a mug of that stuff in about 10 minutes, it would be perfect.
Dorothy, that man is driving me crazy.
Me too. We have to get him out of here.
Girls, I know how difficult it is living with Stanley. Don't forget, I did it for 38 years. But the man is recovering from major surgery. He needs us.
He is taking advantage of you.
He is sick. Now, he's the only one who can know when he's ready to leave. It has to be his decision.
Well, sometimes people need help making decisions. That's the way it was with Thor, our pet lamb. From the time he was first separated from his mother, he wouldn't eat, he wouldn't sleep, he wouldn't frolic with the other sheep.
You're slipping into verse, Rose. Keep it simple.
Daddy got the idea of taking this old inner tube, wrapping it in wool, and putting it next to Thor's bed at night. We named it Brunhilde. And believe it or not, it did the trick. Thor felt like he was back with his mother, and he began eating and sleeping and frolicking. Yes. But then one day, Thor got a little playful and accidentally bit Brunhilde. Poor little guy just stood there, watching his mother deflate before his very eyes. He was never the same after that. Oh, sure, once in a while he'd bat the back tires of a parked car. But for the most part, he just kind of kept to himself.
Yeah. I think I'm beginning to see your point.
You do?
Who cares? You want to hear the sequel?
The point is, you're letting Stan get too comfortable here. He may never want to leave.
Now, she is right, Dorothy.
She is not. He is recuperating. He is not getting comfortable. Believe me, he doesn't want to stay here any longer than he has to.
Stan, you're wearing my robe.
Tell me about it. Which one of Stan's angels forgot to pick up my dry cleaning? Oh, well, cheesecake. I just love it when we all get together like this.
Don't you think it's kind of a coincidence that you get a relapse on the very day the doctor says you're ready to move back into your own apartment?
What can I say? The heart's a funny organ.
I bet most of your organs get a laugh.
Blanche, I sense some hostility.
Good, because I hate you. She's just a little edgy because we've been taking care of you for 2 months. You've been eating us out of house and home and making life generally unbearable.
Is that a very charitable view to take? What are you making for lunch?
Listen here, mister. We've been more than charitable. In the village my ancestors came from, if a man was bad company, unable to provide for his family, and not much fun under the old yak skin, the women would leave him out in the snow to die.
Tough village.
Stanley, I just spoke to Dr. Deutsch, and he says there's nothing to worry about. Some patients do experience a sudden setback like this just when their recovery seems to be complete.
Boy, what rotten luck. I guess I was pushing myself too hard, you know, trying to do too many things for myself. Could you hand me the remote control from the top of the television?
I think the best idea is for you to get some sleep now.
Maybe you're right. Wake me for lunch, okay, babe?
On the clock, and Davis is bringing the ball up. He's taking it slow to midcourt. He could be eating up the clock. No, he's making a move. He's driving the lane. It's up. It's good.
You feeling better, Magic?
Dorothy, I know this sounds insane, but I thought that a little physical activity would help me snap this setback. I was wrong. You were right. I should just rest. Could you help me get back into bed?
Stanley, how could you fake a relapse? I mean, do I deserve this? Stan, I took care of you because I thought you needed me. I defended you to my friends. I mean, why did you do this, Stan?
I'm scared, Darth. I'm scared of being alone. This whole experience has made me feel so vulnerable, so mortal. Being here with you makes me feel secure. Sure, it's great having somebody cook your meals, clean your room, do your laundry, entertain you. In fact, it's terrific, but that's not why I wanted to stay. It's just a bonus. I wanted to stay because I'm happiest being with the people I love.
Stanley, you know, in all the years that we've been together, I don't think you ever opened up to me this way and poured out such crap.
Didn't buy any of it, huh?
Not true. I believe you're scared. You know, you've just discovered something most of us have known for years, that life doesn't always turn out exactly the way you like it. I found that out when you divorced me. I was scared and alone, but I survived. And now you will too, because you have to.
Does this mean you're throwing me out?
I'm not throwing you out, Stanley. I'm pushing you out of the nest. Now, you can't run over here every time you have a problem. I'm not your mother. I'm not even your wife anymore. Now, Stanley, it's time that you grew up. Happy birthday, Peter Pan.